Welcome back to Agriculture Today. And Mike Side once again is a risk management specialist with K-State Research and Extension, Art Barnaby, on a collection of things important to you producers, including a series of crop insurance workshops that K-State is involved with coming up quite soon. Details shortly on those. Also, we'll talk about an analysis of the payments to the Agricultural Risk Coverage Program that Art and his colleagues have recently posted to the AgManager.info website. More on that in a few moments. But tell us about these workshops, Art. These are an annual event, four locations, four land-grant universities cooperating, correct?
Yes, it's the Crop Insurance Workshop. We've been running this for several years now. It's cooperation between us, Colorado State University, University of Nebraska, and Oklahoma State University. There is continuing ed credit offered to crop agents who need continuing ed for maintaining their license. I know we have license numbers for the four states, plus I think Wyoming. So you can check with us if you're from a state that's not listed as having continuing ed credit. I wouldn't promise you that we can file, but wouldn't rule it out either.
Producers are encouraged to take part in this as well.
Yeah, and interesting enough, we've gotten more producers in recent history to come to this workshop because it's really has nothing to do with how you fill out an insurance claim or how do you write up a contract. No, this is really economic analysis. We're dealing with public policy. As most folks know, there are a lot of critics now of crop insurance who want to move crop insurance funds to their favorite program. What this really is about is the public policy and the decision-making and the economics of crop insurance, and we think that applies to farmers, lenders, as well as crop agents. We also see that crop agent as being an extension of our education efforts because they provide a lot of this information to their own producers who can't attend this workshop.
Yeah. And we will run through the dates and locations specifically in just a moment, but a registration deadline is established for each. It's 5 days ahead of the event itself. So in the case of the workshop in Kansas, in Salina, that would be October the 27th, not that far from now, Art.
Yeah, and doesn't mean we're not going to take your registration fee, but we're going to give you a discount if right. You register with us early. If you register before the 5 days are up, which is the 27th in the case of Kansas, it varies by the other states depending on when the actual workshop is. But the 27th, and that's still going to be true for Oklahoma because the weekend we won't be there. But nonetheless, it's $100. If you come in late, it's $120. The reason we do that is, one, to encourage you to enroll up front, and two, it gives us a harder count on the numbers because we have to match meal counts right. and make sure we've got sufficient room and sufficient handouts. So no reason not to register early. I might point out you can register online. We did in the past take credit card, but they're not taking them this year. So all the registrations actually go through the University of Nebraska. I know some of you, particularly back in the old days when they used to be in the Big 12, we hated to send money to Nebraska, but I assure you this thing is all split up between the universities at the end and everybody gets their costs covered. So it's not like you're funding the Nebraska football team.
Okay, very good. Once again, the information is posted on agmanager.info, but specifically the dates. There's a workshop in each of the four cooperating states, October the 31st, Brush, Colorado, November the 1st at Grand Island, Nebraska, then the session here in Kansas, November the 2nd, that will take place in Salina, and finally, November the 3rd in Enid, Oklahoma. All details, including the path to registration, covered on agmanager.info, the 2017 Crop Insurance Workshops, co-sponsored. Art, earlier you noted that there, again, are some proposals out there to do away with or severely reduce the funding for the crop insurance coverage as part of the deliberations over this next farm bill. And you have some comments, obviously, about that, and then complement that with some new information that you've posted on the returns to the Agricultural Risk Coverage Program.
Yes, the paper I'm referring to has come out from the American Enterprise Institute. There's four authors on these papers, and they are very severe critics, and not just crop insurance. They want to eliminate the Title I programs, ARC and PLC. They want to eliminate crop insurance. They imply that there's big dollars being paid out here. I'm sure by now everyone has seen the headlines that the government paid out $8 billion in Title I payments, ARC and PLC. But in the real world, $8 billion doesn't get you very much. It's rounding error in the federal budget. So I prefer to look at what does this look like at the farm level?
And you've done just that through this analysis.
In excruciating detail, and that's why we're going to put all this information that I'm looking at here today that's still in a table format into a map to make it easier for people to see the relevance of these payments. First of all, on the website right now is maps that show the actual payment made by FSA. Now, I know FSA has something very similar to that on their website, so we have to do something a little different, which I think is kind of useful. Robin has posted the payments by county, but posted the payments, the aggregate payments for all 3 years.
Robin Reed, your colleague in agricultural economics.
Yes. And in this case, you've got some counties that got the maximum payment every year for the first 3 years. You got some other counties that didn't get any payment, and then you got some counties that may only got one payment out of the 3 years. So it's quite enlightening to look at those maps and see what the payments look like in total. Now, the thing is that total payment is the RMA payment that they put out there. The payment they put out there is, think of it as the gross payment. And I think that's the way the $8 billion is come up with. They take that payment rate that FSA comes up with and cross all the base acres and come up with that payment. Well, first of all, you got some base acres that won't get paid because they're over the adjusted gross income limit. Secondly, they'll be over the payment limit itself, and that'll take out some acres. But let's say you're a farmer and you're under all those limits. That still doesn't mean you're going to get that payment. It's going to be something less than that. And the reason is because on your base acres, there's 15% of those acres that don't receive any payments, and then there's a 6.8% sequestration cut this year, and I think that actually goes up a point next year, that will cut into those payments. So, for example, I was playing around with some numbers in a wheat farm that has a maximum payment of, say, $20 an acre. They would end up with about $15 to $16 an acre because you have to adjust for the 15% of the acres you don't get payments on. You have to adjust for the acres you don't get payments on at all because you have no base on it, and you have to adjust for the sequestration cut. So effectively, it's closer to $15, $16 an acre. Then if you figure that, well, let's say you were one of those few counties that got payments at the maximum in all 3 years. Well, that still doesn't mean you're necessarily going to get a huge number. And I was playing around with the idea you got another payment this year, making four payments, but didn't get a payment in the last year. If that turns out to be the case, you got 4 out of 5 years of the maximum payment. By the time you average that across all 5 years, now you're down to something closer to, I don't know, $12 an acre or so, $12, $13 an acre.
Just a little over half of what is perceived out there then, basically.
Yeah. And if you think of that in terms of that, how much of this do I get to that I can apply towards my property tax bill? If you're running $4 or $5 an acre property tax, it really doesn't cover your property tax hardly. In fact, you'd be better off if you had a landlord and gave him his third, and it won't cover it for him either. So my point is, when you look at the number on an individual acre basis, it's not near as large as everyone talks about. It's only when you aggregate it up, and then they don't necessarily do all these discounts that happen in the real world before you get to what you actually end up with in your checking account. And that's true with all these programs. Yet when these folks at the national level do their analysis, they always assume on crop insurance, for example, that you get paid the futures price. Well, few people get the futures price because you normally have a negative basis. And if you're in a crop loss situation, usually you get some discounts for quality loss and test weights and all that sort of stuff. Now, crop insurance will cover some of that, but not all of it. And when you get down to the bottom line, that check isn't near as big as you would think. Listen to the experts.
It's not a windfall.
It's not, in my opinion. The other thing they do is when they're calculating incomes and other things, they assume the national average cash price the so-called farm price. That's the number that we talk about quite often, and I estimate every month, that determines the size of the government payments. The point is, I've had more than one farmer call me, where are you getting that number at? It's way higher than what I'm getting here at the elevator. Yes, absolutely. So I know when you run these numbers, you're not getting revenue as high as what these numbers would suggest you are. So it's the kind of world we live in, and you just need to understand where the numbers are coming from.
So producers, we'd recommend you take a look at that. These are broken down, of course, county by county, so you can see what this all says about your situation. It's an interactive map, very handy. So it's all at agmanager.info, and all of the information we've covered in this segment, in fact, detailed right there, agmanager.info. Well, Art, thanks so much for all the work and the comments. We'll talk again soon. Risk Management Specialist, K-State Research and Extension, Art Barnaby, with us on Agriculture Today. And more is coming your way in a few moments on the K-State Radio Network.